Hey guys, Maestro here, bringing you episode 111 of Maestro on the Mic, Thursday Shorty Style. In this episode, I'm giving you something free, and I'm answering the question, how do I motivate my patients? Maybe it's new information, maybe it's not. The only way you're going to find out is by listening to the whole episode. Alrighty, you know what time it is. DJ, gimme that heartbeat.
This is Maestro on the Mic.
A podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it poppin'.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I'm actually answering a question from a listener. You know, I ask you guys all the time, I'm like, write to me, DM me, and only a small handful of you actually take me up on it. I think you guys think I'm not going to write back or something, because when I do write back, people are like, oh my god, I didn't think you'd write back, and I'm like, but I asked you to write. So of course I will write back. But anyway, today's question came from Liz Quinlisk. Thank you, Liz, by the way, for sending this. And basically her question was, how do you motivate someone to heal or improve or get better? And can we even do that, right? Because we've all seen this where some patients get better, some patients don't. You work so hard with some patients and, you know, you feel like you're making no progress. And other patients, it's like, man, could you be on my schedule 12 times today? That'd be great, right? So what do you do? How do you do this? How do you create that motivation? My primary answer to this, or my first answer to this, or my first response to this, and I know when I first heard this, I was like a little bit taken back, but it's real talk. My primary response to this is you cannot care more than your patients, right? One more time for the folks in the back. You cannot care more than your patients. You know, Dr. Weaver from NYU, shout out, whoop, whoop, actually said something along these lines to us during our third year in PT school. And I remember listening to it and I was just like, what? And, you know, the way he phrased it was he had like two cases of two different types of PTs. And, you know, the knee-jerk reaction was to be like, I think that at the end of the day, the question was like, you know, which PT do you think is happier? And when you're in school and, you know, you're so bright-eyed and you're like thinking that the PT that cares so much is going to be the happier one, as opposed to the, I think the one he like kind of juxtaposed with that was like, you know, the patient, the PT that comes in, does his job, loves it, but, you know, leaves that paperwork, leaves that stuff at the job. And, you know, that was the person that was happier, you know. And fast forward a few years into practice, and I was like, shit, he was right. You know, you have to care. That's number one. But you cannot care more than your patients. Right? Some people, and I don't want to say some people don't want to get better, because that sounds very negative for the patient, but some people aren't ready to get better. Some people, especially if we're really truly dealing with patients with chronic pain, right? A lot of the shit that I see on social media, and my last rant that, you know, Thursday Shorty that I did was about this. Some of the stuff I see on social media, it's talking about treating patients that don't have chronic pain. And it's a lot easier. When you have a patient that truly has chronic pain, and this can be a high-level athlete, right? We know a lot of these athletes have very, very strange relationships with pain, right? They think that's supposed to be, supposed to always be there, right? When you these patients, when they have pain and it's become part of their identity, you can't take that away from them. They may not even realize it. But that it's who they've become. Their day is structured around it. It gives them meaning. It gives them, you know, something to sink their teeth into. You can't just take that away from them, right? Even if you feel like they're suffering and you see that, it doesn't matter. They have to be on board too. And so, you know, I don't want to say they don't want to get better. Like they're just like sitting there, like, no, I don't want to get better. But some people, it's such a deep part of them, right? So, you know, as it relates to giving you guys some solutions and strategies, because I think that's also very important, not to just bitch about things and then be like, okay, maestro out. That's terrible. So try and give you some solutions. I think that number one, like I said, you cannot care more than your patient. That is huge. You have to protect your peace, right? As Doc J. Pop always says, you have to protect your peace. After we've gone through that, right, I think that, you know, it starts with the initial evaluation. We have to set realistic expectations for ourselves, for that person, and we have to establish boundaries, you know, and roles from the beginning. It's very important, the questions that we're asking this person, it's very important, you know, what we're laying out for this person, that they don't think that we're Jesus and we're just going to go and fix them. We have to make sure that we establish this partnership where they know that they have to put in the work and that you are there to put in just as much work as they are. I think that, you know, I'm going to speak to my physical therapist directly here. I know we have doctorates, and I think that some people have a chip on their shoulder and some people want to just wave the doctor flag. And, you know, I go back and forth about it because I'm not saying you should be ashamed of it, clearly. I'm not saying that you should hide it either. But in terms of putting that patient first and that patient-centered model, what we really want to do is establish a relationship of that between a coach and a player, not of that of a traditional doctor and a patient. Because in that traditional, you know, allopathic model, the doctor is seen as this person that's going to do something onto the patient or do something to the patient. And the patient's very passive and like, I'm going to get fixed. Whereas within that coach-player model, the player knows that the coach isn't the one in the game. Right? The coach is not going to win the game for you. The coach is not going to get that outcome for you. They're going to help you. They're going to guide you. But they're not on the field, right? They're not in the arena. You are. And so that's really the relationship that we want to establish with our patients from the get-go. You know, and we're continuing to see this blend, this push towards this hybrid model. And it doesn't really, when I say that, it doesn't have to just be in how you're working with that person. Meaning, are you like an orthopedic facility and you're doing like rehab, prehab, and like all that kind of stuff? It doesn't have to even be that. Just how you relate to this person, how you establish connection with this person. And that's going to start from minute number one, asking the right questions, you know, explaining the right things, and really asking the person what they think, why they're there, what they think your role is going to be. So I'm going to go into that rabbit hole a little bit, but before I do that, I want to let you guys know, and I've given this away before, I have a free download that it's like a little ebook that I created that is the top five questions that I think every clinician needs to be asking. And I'm going to take this step further and say that every person who works with people, you need to be asking, like in a service-based, you know, model, you need to be asking these five questions. So I'm going to link that in the show notes. I know some of you guys don't have access to the show notes, but I do know now that Google Player does do that in the show notes. Very sleek interface there. So iTunes and Google, or iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever the fuck it is, you can have access there. But I'm going to link it in the show notes. The website, if you can't access it, is going to be www.themovementmaestro.com/5 questions. The number 5 questions. Okay, one more time. www.themovementmaestro.com/5 questions. Go to that, got to put your little information in, and then it'll send you a digital download of the ebook that I created. But why I created this was because I was seeing people from the get-go just not establishing good, you know, rapport with their patients, not establishing roles with their patients, not establishing realistic expectations with their patients, and not really understanding what their patients care about. Right? As it relates to kind of trying to create motivation or trying to motivate someone, right, it's very difficult to create intrinsic motivation. And I'm going to also link the episode that I did with Kathy Sierra because she's brilliant and talks about this and is just such a tremendous resource for that. But as it relates to creating intrinsic motivation, one of the things that I think that we can do, or one of the best things that I think we can do, is give that person something they care about, right? People don't care about like, oh, I want to need a better movement pattern, or like, you know, what this number says on this thing, unless that number is like their dress size or their pants size. Otherwise, people don't really care about these things, these measurements that oftentimes, or these objective measures that we have to take for, you know, not that we, I don't do this, but that people may have to take for insurance. What we need to be doing during the initial evaluation is asking these people what they care about and what they're trying to get back to, right? What do you care about? What are you trying to get back to? Why are you here? Are you here because your wife sent you? Well, you're probably not going to get better because you don't really want to be here. Are you here just because your doctor said to give it a try, but it probably isn't going to work? Well, also, you're probably not going to get better. And I realize that that's a whole other discussion. Like, if you're a cash-based model, you probably won't get as many of those people because they're not going to pay. If you're working in that insurance model and you're working for someone and that person just shows up on your schedule, I get it. And that's when it becomes very, very difficult. And that's, you know, perhaps another, you know, check in the box for in favor of the cash-based model. But either way, when we're doing our initial evaluations, we have to figure out what these people care about. And then we have to, you know, tailor our sessions around that. You know, that's another problem that exists with this very biomedical approach, where we think that structure is directly causing pain. And therefore, if we change that structure, the person's pain will go away. It's a very objective, outcome-based approach to treatment, and we need to have a bit more of the subjective coming into that, right? Because if it's like, you know, the reason you have this pain is because that shoulder is lower, well then, you know, fast forward 6 weeks and that person's shoulder is still lower because it's probably not ever going to get higher, and suddenly it's like, well, am I better? I don't know, like, it's still lower. Whereas if it's something like, okay, we are trying to get you to be able to walk, you know, get you back to walking a mile without having that ankle pain. Because that's what they care about. They like, I love to walk. I walk every morning. I'm just trying to go walk with my neighbor. And I can only get like a half a block before I have this pain. Then we start using things like that as our outcome measure. And the things that, you know, we are looking to do and to try and track in order to see how this person is progressing. And we give them, it helps provide that intrinsic motivation because they care about it. They want to be doing that thing. They're on board with it. That needs to be a huge question, a central question in our initial evaluation and every session, right? It can't just be, I want to not have pain. That is so difficult. You guys understand that because pain is not a thing. Pain's an experience, right? It's created by so many different inputs. And so to just have it as, I don't want to have pain, I get it, right? I get it. Nobody wants to have pain. But we need to tie that into some meaningful, I almost said functional, and that's not the word I want, meaningful activities, right? I want to be able to sit longer at my desk because I really love doing podcasts, right? Whatever, something like that. We have to dangle that carrot, you know, provide this person with something that they're trying to move towards because they actually care about it. Now, for many of you, you know, Liz included, Liz has been in the game for a minute. I think she's been a therapist for like 32 years, right? She's an OG. She loves this. And what I'm saying is very likely, not very likely, she wrote back, so I know it's preaching to the choir. And I'm okay with that. She was very okay with that. And sometimes, a lot of the times, and this is what I do in my other courses, it's okay to just, you know, hear things over again and be validated. I'd just be like, yeah, actually, I am doing the right thing. And what I thought that was right. But sometimes we just need to hear that. And I'm okay if that's where you're at with this. And you're like, yeah, of course, Maestro, I know this. Cool. Then nod your head. Right? Maybe we do it to the beat of that intro. Side note, Julia, that was amazing. Julia Avery, she recorded herself doing the singing, you know, reciting the entire intro verbatim. Like, so cool to me. You guys are awesome. So awesome. So yeah, you know, nod your head and be like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I've been doing that. Yeah, I know that. Awesome. I love that. I want that. Sometimes that affirmation, that confirmation that we're doing the right thing and we're heading in the right direction is just as valuable as learning something new. Okay, I'm going to wrap this one up. And look at this. It's not quite as long as the last one. We're sticking with that Thursday shorty-ish style. Once again, if you want that download for the top 5 questions that I feel every clinician or coach or therapist needs to be asking their patient or client, you can click the link in the show notes, or you can head on over to www.themovementmaestro.com/5 questions. You guys have been awesome. please, I hope this episode also showed you, if you write to me, I will write back. And it also helps me out because now I get more food for thought and things to speak about during this episode. So please hit me up. Go to my website. I just listed it. You know, submit something. Email me, Shantae at the Movement Maestro, whatever. DM me. Reach out to me. I am all about connection. If you're on my newsletter, you know I just sent one and was saying how I had a tarot card pulled for me on the equinox. And basically that's what the card said. It was like, you, homie, are all about connection. And I was like, what is this black magic? And also, you're right. So please reach out. I love hearing from you. If it takes me a little bit of time to get back, it's just because I'm probably on the road. But I will always, always, always get back. So Liz, thank you. Truly. You guys, thank you. I know you could have been doing anything and you chose to listen to me. And I am truly, truly grateful. If you like this, would love some stars. If you loved it, would love some reviews. I'm almost at 100. You guys are freaking amazing, right? I don't check those things that often. I kind of forget, and it's kind of difficult to check it on iTunes. I'm not going to lie. And I checked it the other day, and it's at like 94 reviews. Like, dude, I've been doing this for a year. We're coming up on it next. Oh, gosh, this month will be a year. You know, almost 94, you know, 5-star reviews, which is amazing. I have some actual written reviews from you guys. Like, you guys are amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Really, thank you. Okay, signing off this time for real. Until next time, friends, Maestro out.